I know you can. That's perfect. Was that really already?
What's
are we on?
Yeah, your theme song. It isn't that long.
Shit, I didn't have my headphones on.
It was rocking. I was jamming. Hey. I was giving you guys everybody thumbs up dancing.
We're professionals. We thought you were thumbing up on the video feed. But
hey, welcome to Intellectual King.
Hey, what's up?
We're professionals.
We're totally professional.
Totally professional.
Mm-hmm. Hey.
I'm Insidious Muse.
I'm Service Slut.
Hey, how are you?
I'm pretty good. It's been kind of a long day and stuff.
I still think it was a good call that we didn't go out last night.
Oh, dear God, yes.
We had a lot of really late nights in a row and early wake-ups and stuff, so that was good. It was good to sleep. Yes. Although tonight, you know, we're not going to sleep, but whatever. It is what it is.
Sleeps for the week. Except, sleep's so nice.
It is. It is when you can get it. It's nice when you can get it. It's been eluding me for a while. So I took some herbal medicine to help. Not weed, people. Herbal medicine, like actual shit you buy in the store. Just clarifying that so everybody knows. I'm not like that.
You're so silly. You're really enjoying the camera.
I'm just having fun. I'm funny. But anyway.
Hey, we're doing an experiment this week.
We are doing it. Would you like to share our experiment with everybody?
Yes. So background, we have a lovely friend and we love him so much.
Love him so much.
And he has recently been, is it under consideration?
Yeah, I think it's under consideration.
It's like a trial period of some kind. And Mistress mentioned to me that one of his provisions is that he needs to ask for permission for everything.
Everything that is not work-related.
Everything that's not work-related. To which Mistress then said, well, that's totally, like, unsustainable. Like no way, right? And so, what did I say to that?
I think I said, there's no way we could do it because you'd fail in a heartbeat.
Which I said, I was like, nah, you would hate it. You would get so tired of it after a week. So then we decided, all right, fine. Experimentation time.
All right. So this week from what was it, 8:50?
7:56.
7:56 Monday night to 7:56 next Monday night. You have to ask for permission for everything that is not. And we laid out the parameters. Mm-hmm. Anything work-related, don't need to ask permission. Anything to do with your self-care, such as cleaning and showering and laundry and those types of things, don't have to ask.
Right.
But pretty much everything else, texting, tweeting, Facebooking, playing games on your phone, going to see somebody, any of those things, she has to ask.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She failed today.
Yes, but in my defense, if I may,
This is, by the way you do it every single time, just so you know. Go ahead. I want to hear it.
Because so we were sitting there, and I asked if I could fuss around on my phone. And she's like, well, what does that mean? And I said, well, play with games and like maybe tweet a little bit and browse Facebook. And she's like, all right, go ahead. We're sitting there just vegging. And then we left to go do laundry together. We did laundry together. It was so romantic.
There was nothing romantic about that, people, just so you know.
Well, it was special. But so anyways, because I did laundry. And I have my laundry card, my very first laundry card. But so we were on our way there, and I was playing Candy Crush, because as we all know, Candy Crush is the ruiner of lives.
It is. It is that. It is. It's the heroine of phone games.
So so she looked at me, and she...
I look over, and I was like, did you ask?
Yeah.
And Nancy believed that the time continued just... forever.
So then I learned, and so then it didn't occur to me. So that way, so when right now, right before we came in to do the show, I asked, "Hey, can I play games?" And she said, "Yes." So then my follow up question, now having learned from my mistake, is, "Okay, for how long?"
And I said, "Until the show begins,"
mm-hmm.
which is what happened.
Yes, And nice. So I learned that, okay, I'm going to ask for permission, but I'm going to ask, okay, for how long?
Also,
obviously things expire.
One of the things about this little experiment that was interesting is that you thought that it would be so overwhelming for me that I would become so tired of just all these petty questions like, oh, don't ask me that. That's so, oh my, I don't have time for this. Don't you have a brain? You know, that kind of thing. Because, you know, that's the kind of person I am. I get bitchy about things.
And sometimes you just really don't care. Like there
sometimes
was,
I don't care. But yeah. If you ask me, I'm going to have, in this scenario, I'm going to have an opinion when you ask me something. Yes or no, whatever it is, I have to have an opinion. I don't have a problem having an opinion. If it doesn't matter if I have an opinion or not, I won't have an opinion. But if it matters, I'm going to have an opinion. See how that one works? Anyway, point being, the comment that I made earlier to you today was that you note that our lives are not significantly different because of this.
This is true.
There's very little difference on my end and even on your end. There's more adjustment on your end because you're the one that has to initiate the contact.
That's true.
To make the requests, you know? And it's one of those things where it's like I don't know, yesterday you were at work and I didn't hear from you practically all day.
Well, I guess busy.
Exactly.
But really busy.
But, you know, I know for a fact that when you're on your lunch, you veg on your phone, you tweet, you do those things.
Which I did. I did text you during my lunch and I said, hey, can I do these things? And then, like, I heard from you, like, at, like, the tail end of my lunch.
Well, I was busy. These are the things. For example, our friend who is under consideration, we invited him to go to a trivia with us and he did not hear back from his mistress, so he could not. He said, darn it, I should have asked earlier. And I said, well, you know, next time you can ask earlier. So There you go. It happens.
It does.
It's exciting. Which is interesting because that's the way that she does her dominance. That's one of the things that she likes. She likes that kind of control. And I'm
you're really hands off.
I'm really hands off. It's a lot like the same way when I'm a manager at work. I really expect people to be thinking people. I don't like to surround myself with people that don't think. It irritates me. but it's her style of dominance. And it's interesting because the subject today is a dominant's responsibilities. Now, that isn't a dominant's responsibility. It's a choice. It's a way they do it. However, what is their responsibility is setting the tone. And having that be one of the tasks, one of the expectations is absolutely setting the tone for the relationship. So it's one of those things. Some people are like that, some people aren't. I mean, I would love to be super duper high protocol like Mistress Melissa. That's awesome. It's cool. I like when the slaves do that stuff and they get in the positions and she says too and they know what to do. It's awesome. But I'm like, oh, well, now I have to remember what two is. You know,
you would have to remember just as much as me.
Exactly.
Well, and
hit or miss.
I think, you know, in the vein of that, I think it's also responsibility. My opinion, I think it's also the dominant's responsibility to be, to have a good rapport. To play their part in maintaining the rapport with their submissive. You know, you and I spend a lot of time together. So, you know, little things like I can pick up on your nonverbal cues because I've known you for this long. So I know what it means when you're not cracking a smile and nothing makes you laugh and you can't even like look over at me and like, you know, react.
It means I have a headache.
Exactly. It means exactly that. You know, but you've allowed me in enough in order to get to know those things about you.
Well, and I think that it depends, you know, it depends on the nature of the DS relationship. Some dominant style and the overarching theme that they would have in their DS. The overarching theme they would have in their DS is a little bit more formal. And in a more formalized relationship, you're not going to get the kind of familiarity that you have with me. we have the familiarity because we have a very, very, like, no protocol relationship. Well, we have some protocol, but it's really, it's kind of like human decency protocol. But in a high protocol relationship, you're not going to have that kind of, a familiarity. I wouldn't say intimacy, because you can still have intimacy to a degree, but the likelihood of there being that kind of forthcoming conversations and being able to really know your dominant like that in a casual setting isn't going to be that great, unless you're spending, you're 24/7 and you're spending a lot of time with them and you're observing them based upon your observations as opposed to anything that they've said to you. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because that's just the nature of, that's the tone that they have set for that relationship. So I think that the primary responsibility of a dominant is to establish what kind of a DS relationship it's going to be. High protocol, medium protocol, low protocol, slave, master, submissive, dominant. You know, I think that is the first responsibility. And it has obviously everything to do with the partner. You can't have a master-slave relationship with somebody who's a bottom. You just can't do that. It doesn't work. But I think that if you naturally have gravitated or somebody that meshes towards the titles and the things that are appealing, then therefore it is their responsibility as the leader of a group or whatever would have to set the tone for and the direction and the vision that has to come really from the dominant.
Well, and I think that's all, I guess a sub point of that is the dominant needs to be clear.
Yes.
They need to be very clear about what is expected, about what they want, what they need. I talk a lot about how I feel like I know you well, but I mean, like right now, when I asked if I could play games and you said yes, it was unclear to me for how long, so I asked.
Right.
But, at the same time, even if I didn't ask, if you gave me some sort of vague instruction, I would have to follow it to the best of my ability if I didn't ask.
Correct.
So, I think that's, a lot of times how S-types expect or rather want to be mind readers, we can't be. We can't always anticipate as much as we would like to.
That's true. It's true, especially if you have a dominant that things are dependent upon their mood. That makes it even harder. And apparently if you have a dominant that's hard to read, I don't think I'm hard to read, but apparently you think I'm hard to read. I think I'm really easy to read, but whatever. That's because I know myself. it is. And I think that goes down to the point of, and we've been really kind of beating this horse for a while about knowing yourself. For example, when we started our relationship and our contract, it's like crazy high protocol. The contract is crazy high protocol.
Yeah.
It's based on Mistress Melissa's contracts. Cause I was like, that's what I want. I love that. I love that. But then getting into it, what's required of it was something that I personally as a dominant, you personally as a submissive, we couldn't sustain.
No,
we couldn't sustain that level. That wasn't true
for a variety of reasons.
Right. That wasn't true to who we were. That wasn't true to who we were in that point in our lives. It just wasn't true. So knowing who you are when you're setting up these guidelines, these rules, if you're doing a contract or you're just setting up limits and things like that, you have to know yourself. I think that's the first responsibility, of a dominant. Know yourself, and then you can set up the vision for your relationship.
I feel you.
You feel me?
I do.
Mm-hmm. So I actually had written a blog piece some time ago.
Yes, you did.
And it wasn't about a dominant's responsibilities, but it was about what makes a good dominant. And my whole point for it was wholeness, like a whole human being. Who is a whole human being that has flaws, that has gifts, that has, talents, abilities, weaknesses, vulnerabilities, all of that. A whole human being is what makes a good dominant to me, in my opinion. Because a whole human being, you want to be your partner. The idea is that a whole human being as a submissive makes a better submissive, obviously. A whole human being makes better everything. Now, I don't necessarily think that anybody is perfectly whole without any cracks or fissures or even missing parts because, you know, we've all been through life and we're all a little battle-worn. That's the nature of living life. And especially if you've been in BDSM, you know, shit happens. And there are some fucked up DS relationships that happen, you know, for whatever reason. And we get our scars. So you can't be perfect. You can't be shiny and perfect. That's just, I don't think that's a human possibility, truthfully. Even with therapy, you still have a scar. But as far as, so I think that it's the dominant's responsibility, therefore, to take care of themselves mentally, emotionally, as much as they possibly can in order to try to work towards being whole. But kind of the some of the things that I think are part of the dominant's responsibility is self-awareness, compassion. I think that is their responsibility to be compassionate. Not to the degree that it interferes with their dominance, but where they can be compassionate towards sometimes, you know, the submissive is having a shitty day. And sometimes compassion is the right answer. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes you just got to say, yeah, I'm sorry you had a shitty day, or not even I'm sorry you had a shitty day. I understand you had a shitty day. You have responsibilities. Get to them. And part of that, which boils down to one of the big responsibilities of being a dominant, is knowing and understanding your submissive. Really knowing them. Because it's part of my job, part of the D-type's job, to guide submissives away from bad things and towards good things. And what's bad and what's good, I mean, it's not black and white always. It often depends on the person.
Wouldn't it then be maybe guide them to what's right for them?
Oh, whatever. I'm defining it now with the, because it depends. Where, you know, obviously you don't want them contemplating suicide. That's bad. That's a black bad. It's
yeah,
pretty clearly black bad.
Pretty bad.
But for example,
yeah,
there was a time when things were going really good, you were really happy, and so you stopped taking your meds.
Oh, that, yeah.
You were really, things were great. Like, I don't need my meds anymore, which was your thinking, so you stopped taking them. that didn't work out for anybody. It was one of those things where I had to know you to be like, what's going on? Why are you, there's weirdness. And true, when you're in a manic phase and you're not like super crazy manic buying cars phase, which I have seen that. Somebody goes out, just buys a brand new car. It's like, what the fuck? They just bought a brand new car. Why did they buy a brand new car? They're getting laid off in a week. They need to not buy a brand new car. You know, this shit happens. But for when you're in a manic phase and you're kind of, you know, everything's good and happy and the world feels good. I don't need my meds. Woohoo! I'm singing 70s disco songs and shit.
Apparently.
A little funk going on in there. But when you start coming down, it's like, you're like wobbling and wavering. And it's like, and that's why I was, because I knew you. I was like, And then there was confession time about not taking meds. And it's like, no. And that's when it's one of those situations where my job is like not acceptable. Now one of the parameters of our relationships is you take your meds. Mm-hmm. Period. Not an option. So knowing you was helpful in that process because I was like, there's something going on and I don't know what it is because I didn't know you weren't taking your meds, but there was something going on. As soon as you said it, I was like, oh my God, I can fill
everything
in the blanks for all of these weird things that were happening. Like, what the fuck? I don't have an answer for this. I'm not a psychic. I'm not a mind reader. So I think that knowing you're submissive and understanding them, it helps in guiding them in the right direction.
Do you think that it is the dominant's responsibility to meet the needs of their submissive or slave?
No. To be a whole person, dominant or submissive, to be a whole person, your list of needs can't be fulfilled by one person. So to say that it is solely one person's responsibility to fill this other person's needs automatically puts undue pressure upon the relationship. It sets it up to fail. So my answer to that is no, because there are some needs that a submissive needs to take care of for themselves. Some dominants are going to have a very different opinion on this. This is my opinion. My opinion, because I would rather have a whole human being that understands themselves and knows in order to remain a whole human being, they need to maintain relationships with other people. They need to, whatever, continue education, whatever it is, that they know these things about themselves. And that can happen away from their dominant. Some dominants aren't okay with that. I'm okay with that. So I would say no, because I think that that creates so much pressure that there's going to be like the fissures and the cracking is going to happen really, really soon. There's enough pressure in the relationship as it is.
I think that, you know, maybe a part of that which might be true is the safety of the dominance, submissive or slave. There's a lot that, you know, just by the very nature of the shit that we do, you know, there's, I put my safety in your hands whenever we play, you know? I think in that way, yes, I think there part of that is your responsibility, but that doesn't mean that the whole, everything, every part of that, every part of my safety. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
I think that, I mean, when you're talking about play, safety is the dominant's responsibility, which means knowledge of that play is their responsibility.
Right. But also in that same vein, it's also my responsibility in being aware of, hey, that's causing me some real sharp pain. That's not good.
Understand your limits and safe word is necessary. But when it comes to safety outside of play, it's not a dominant's responsibility unless it's built into the relationship. Let's say, for example, there is a submissive who has a very long history of making really, really poor friendship choices. A dominant might decide at that point, saying, okay, any new people that you meet have to pass through me and I have to approve of them because you have such a shitty history of making, you know, of choosing people that end up using you, hurting you, whatever it is, causing damage, whatever the laundry list of things that bad friends people can do. I can see where I would put that in place if I knew that about somebody. It's like, you traditionally don't have a real good track record, so let's do this, this, and this. But if somebody has long-standing, deep-seated relationships with people that they want to maintain, I would have no problem with them maintaining that and that being separate from me. You know, I mean, the only time that I would think that you would have issues with people maintaining a relationship separate from you, from me as a dominant, is if you're insecure in yourself and in your relationship and you feel that these other relationships somehow threaten it. And that's a sign, that's a me issue. That's the D-type person's issue. That's not the S-type person's issues with their friends. Does that make sense? I just kind of talked about a few different things in one.
But I was able to follow you.
Look at you. Look at that. It's because you have, you know, the Fanta.
I do. I have Fanta.
So, I mean, knowledge, like I said, is critically important when you're going to go into play. Ensuring that you actually have the knowledge when you're going to do something. And if you don't, be honest with the person you're playing with your submissive. Be honest. Say, hey, this class was awesome. Wax play, for example. Oh my God, this wax play class was awesome. I got all this wax and stuff like that. And I learned all this stuff but I have never done it on anybody other than the couple demo people that I've done. Would you be comfortable? And you have to negotiate at that moment so that they're honest with it. And if somebody's like, I don't trust you. Well, whatever. But but it can be one of those situations where it's like, okay, then let's do this together. That's my approach. it's definitely not going to be somebody else's approach. There are a lot of people that are like, no, my way or the highway. But I would say if you're going to engage in play that you haven't done before, or you want to learn practicing on your submissive, I mean, you have to practice. I get that. But just be honest with your skill level. Don't exaggerate it. Don't be like, yes, I've been flogging for 20 years. I'm a master flogger.
Floggers along my belt.
And I'm a floggers, and here is a whip. Shall I whip you with my masculine whipping skills? You know, I mean, it's just whatever. Whatever. Anyway, moving right along. Dominance responsibilities. I believe that it is a dominant's responsibility to be respectful.
Of everyone?
Of everyone. I think that respect is... I'm respectful regardless if somebody is a D or an S. It doesn't matter to me. Am I going to capitalize the Y when I'm typing to an S? No. I will when I'm typing to a D. Absolutely. Especially if they're high protocol. I've gotten used to that with a Mistress Melissa. I capitalize my Ys when I text her. She capitalizes her Ys when she texts me too, so it's cool. But it's one of those, I was like, ooh, I got to get on this train. I got to get on this capitalization train. but I think that the only, I think even you can discipline and punish and even demean or do whatever those things, you know, degrade, whatever kinds of plays, humiliate things that we do. To your submissive, as long as you still are respecting them, you still have that respect underlying. You know, a lot of that is sometimes it's play. No, punishment is not play. Mm. But you are punishing them truthfully because there has to be that mutual respect. You're punishing them because you want them to be better. Otherwise, you would just say you're dismissed.
Are you also punishing to remain consistent?
Well, now we're getting into the specifics of why somebody's being punished.
No. You're right. Never mind.
Although consistency really is one of the responsibilities of a dominant.
Why? I know why, but I want to pick your brain.
Well, if you know why, then why are you asking me? It's like you're setting me up to fail. Because my answer is going to be different from yours because I'm a different person.
Well, that's true, but I'm not trying to set you up to fail. When I say that I know what it is, I imagine that I know what it is, but that doesn't really mean I know what it is. Anyways, hey, hi, what's up?
You're so bizarre.
Oh my God, you've spent all day long telling me how bizarre I am.
I'm trying to be normal.
Anyways.
The dominant has to be consistent so that the submissive understands their role, their place, their duties, their responsibilities, their how they fit in the puzzle. The dominant has to be consistent so that the submissive knows that their puzzle piece always goes here. It always goes here. It always goes here. It always goes here. When you have a D type that is not consistent, that is just like, whatever. Maybe like me. it leaves the submissive wondering, where do they fit? What is their role? Who are they? They don't have that countering yin to their yang consistently to define them. And I'm not saying that you have to be defined by somebody else, but in a DS relationship, it truly should be that yin and that yang. And there's just as much black yin as there is to white yang. I don't know if one's or the other, so please don't correct me. I don't actually care. If I cared, I'd go to Wikipedia, so it's cool. just keeping it real.
And I'm the bizarre one. Okay.
So. And how? What do you believe? Why consistency is so important for a dominant?
I agree with your definition of why and what consistency is within DS. What I was thinking is consistency leads to reliability. You know, for that person who has to ask for permission to sit on furniture, they know every single time, without a shadow of a doubt, that they have to ask before sitting down. When you're right, it turns you into like this, like it puts you in this like tornado almost, where it's like, wait, you cared yesterday. Yesterday, you definitely gave a shit whether or not I did this. And then today you're telling me, oh, whatever. I don't care. Wait, I'm like, it's a weird kind of confusion that happens. You're not like genuinely confused. I mean, you know that, yes, this should happen, but what? Like, you're supposed to care. I don't understand. I don't even know how to define that feeling that happens.
It's a gut feeling.
Yeah, but it starts making things crack a little bit. Mm-hmm. It starts chipping away. Mm-hmm. And so, like, you know, I don't think that consistency necessarily equals structure, but it does mean that on the things that you say are black and white, they're black and white. They're always going to be black and white.
Right, but if you have structure, you must be consistent within it. I mean...
Right, well, that's the thing. You know, consistency... Right.
Consistency can be anything.
Consistency doesn't have to equal structure, but if you have structure, structure always has to equal consistency.
Agreed. To that end, follow through is actually both parties' responsibilities, but it's the dominant's responsibility. And I put this on my list because... I just think it's true. Creativity.
Oh.
I think that creativity truly, truly is one of the dominant's responsibility. Because doing the same scene over and over and over again, that's got to get boring. I mean, I guess it's consistent. I guess you always know you're going to go spanking paddle cane or, you know, spanking flogger paddle cane. You know, you always know. Hey, let's play with the microphone. Hello, microphone. you always know. But in order for your relationship to evolve, the dominant has to be creative. You have to constantly be growing and learning and changing and whatevering in order to make the relationship kind of keep going oomph, oomph, oomph. And that's not like a rave, that's like going forward.
Do you think that because, you know, we always hear about like submissive personal growth and everything. Mm-hmm. What does personal growth look like for a dominant?
Well, I'm always learning. I'm always getting better. And I'm not just talking about skills. You can teach a monkey to flog. You can teach a monkey to wield a cane. It's about growing in the depth and the understanding of what DS is, what BDSM means, how it impacts us, not just on a physical level, but on a deeper emotional, psychological level. So for me, growing is learning all of those things, everything that I can, and then learning more, and then learning more. I'm constantly researching, constantly. I'm always looking for any current data on BDSM, on dominance, on submission, on any of the numerous things that we've talked about on the show that you and I've personally talked about. So that's what growth looks for. And not to mention, I mean, skills are important too. I'm trying to, you know, get rope skills going.
Which is, you know, fun.
Which is a lot of fun. Yeah. You know? And that's a skill, and that takes practice and that takes work. And we've been practicing. We played with some rope last night. While we watched True Blood. Seems to make sense. You know, and then of course, as other skills come up, it's like, I didn't know about this kind of play, or I've seen it, but I've never done it. Or I want to actually learn more about how you do it. Cause that's to me what growth is. Growth is you can add skills under your belt. I think there's two different, when I'm thinking about growth, I look at two different columns. I look at the skills and I look at the understanding, if that makes sense.
Yes.
So that's what growth looks like to me for a dominant. And I think that that is one of our responsibilities, especially if one of my mandates is that you as a submissive constantly be growing and be self-aware and evolving. I have to do the same thing, because the truth of the matter is, if you're evolving and I'm not, at some point you will evolve and go beyond me. It's just a fact.
That brings me to the next thing that I was going to suggest as a responsibility for a dominant, emotional maturity.
Well, it's the same thing when I was talking about wholeness, emotional maturity, being able to understand. So emotional maturity is really, it's a hard thing when you're talking about a dominant, not about general emotional maturity and the fact that you can whatever grow and learn and stuff, but one specific thing: admit when you're wrong.
Ooh, yeah.
That's really hard for a lot of D types, especially when they have to admit they're wrong to their S type. It takes a huge amount of humility to be able to do that. And that's not notoriously what most D types are known for. We're not known for humility. There are those, the very humble dominant, where you're like, wow, like you just see them and you know that they're dominant. And there's like, you have this immediate respect for them because of their humility. But it takes, when you're a dominant and you've done something wrong, and I'm not just talking about a cane stroke that's off or whatever, you've done something wrong, you wonder if going to your submissive and admitting your mistake and talking about how to move past it or work on it or whatever, you wonder if that's going to degrade the relationship so much that it's not worth continuing anything. Mm-hmm. That's a concern. It's a legitimate concern. You're always kind of battling with, you don't want to give away your dominance. You don't want to just give it away. And it can be thrown away just that easily, because you can lose respect for somebody like that.
Right.
Everybody's done it. We've all seen somebody do something and we're like, bam, respect is gone. It doesn't take a lot. So when you're doing this delicate dance of dominance and submission, those big things, they take a lot of finesse to really kind of handle properly. And then if you finesse it too much, then you're like, it's a situation.
Oh, I wish she was listening.
I know. I love her so much.
Thank you for that. When I asked that, I was like, not because I felt like, oh my God, she's going to be so mad that I asked that, but because I do realize that can be a very difficult thing to do. Mm-hmm. It's a dance, you know, it is the yin and yang and all of that. And so I absolutely agree that something like that can kind of change the footing a little bit of the relationship.
Yeah. I think that it's also, one of the things that often it is a dominant's responsibility, but I don't necessarily know if people do this consciously or just as a byproduct of DS, to inspire their sub to be the best they can be, whether they're doing it intentionally or unintentionally. And that requires all of the things we talked about before. Respect, consistency, follow through, compassion, loving, sadism. There's this huge like bubble of things that go into making your dominant your dominant. And then when it's your dominant, what would you do for a good girl?
Anything.
That's it. Inspiring you to want a good girl. Which means that as a dominant, I can't be super stingy with my good girls. I can't be super, you know, giving with them. There's a balance.
Right.
You know, you have to selectively know when to give them and when not to give them. It's, you know, carrot stick, whatever. The carrot's a cheap carrot. It's two words. You know, the stick takes fucking work, man. There's a lot of work in that stick. So, yeah, I think that that's important is the more whole of a human being you are, the more you exude the kind of dominant that a submissive wants to submit to, the more you're going to bring out that tendency or desire in them to give their all, to be the best that they can be. You know, that's a commercial, I think.
But. You know what I've noticed on a lot of dominance, and I don't know if this is necessarily a responsibility of a dominant, but I've seen a lot of self-control in terms of like reaction.
Yeah.
You know, where your S type does something to really piss you the fuck off, and it takes everything in you not to fuck their shit up. And I mean, in that there's so much patience, there's so much like a weird type of zen that then, you know, when us S types fuck up, we get really, really, really creeped out, because then it's like, fuck, man, the storm's coming.
It is.
It's the calm before the storm.
That, you know, you've seen me do it. I think you saw Mistress Melissa do it. Mm-mm. You weren't there for that?
No.
Yeah. That's one of those things where, for me personally, one of my absolute hard limits is reacting and or playing in anger. I've yelled at you once. Yelled mm-hmm. at you. And that was because that conversation, for whatever reason, couldn't wait. It waited as long as I possibly could. And that wasn't pleasant. And that was, I was definitely angry when we had that conversation.
Yeah.
I have to, one of my responsibilities is when I react or play in anger, it crosses the line to abuse. That is, I fully believe that. So I will not do that. I have to keep that in check. That is one of my core beliefs. And I practice it all the time. And that's when you get that. It's not a zen.
No.
It's not a zen.
No, no, no.
It's a holding your shit together. That's what it is. You hold your shit together until you can work through whatever is causing this emotional reaction and be able to have an adult conversation about it. So I think not reacting in anger is one of them. But I have this really cool thing. I haven't read this blog post in a while. It's kind of good. treat others with respect. Earn respect. Let the punishment fit the crime. That is one of the dominant's responsibilities, is punishment. Allow yourself to have emotions, but don't react when you're overwhelmed by them. Have fun. You will never arrive at a dom compound where you will find your work is done. Your work is never done. And that's the fucking truth. You get what you give. Keep yourself in check. I think that that a lot of that puts it in perspective.
Right.
About what are the responsibilities. Keep yourself in check. You know, make sure that those are... You have to ensure that you're keeping everything flowing. You know, when I was a kid.
Young whippersnapper.
I was a young whippersnapper. Have you ever played with like those cardboard or foam bricks? They're really big and you could stack them and stuff like that. Like yeah. We used to have them at Sunday school. Let's say you have a bunch in a row and you're pushing them together to hold them, to take them someplace. When you feel it slipping, you push harder, don't you? Which just ultimately leads them to have that pressure and basically an earthquake and they split apart.
Yeah.
The dominant in a relationship is holding these foam bricks together. And it's critically important to know that when it's slipping, that might not be the right time to squeeze. that's, I don't know how to state what I visually put out there.
No, I see it.
But that's a dominant's responsibility too. To know when to squeeze, know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to squeeze and know when to let go. Because sometimes you gotta let go and trust it'll all work out. Sometimes. You gotta smack a bitch in the face. Sometimes.
Or not, because that might not result in the reaction you were hoping for.
I said sometimes. Yeah, you know, it all depends.
So we've, you know, gone over all of these fantastic points of what makes for the responsible dominant. What makes for an irresponsible dominant? What are those things that, hey, that's a red flag?
I think one of the first things that always comes to my mind when I think about an irresponsible dominant is somebody, and this has to do with play, is somebody who plays under the influence of drugs or alcohol. I think that that is grossly negligent. That's just my opinion. Mm-hmm. I think it's grossly negligent. An irresponsible dominant is one that has a concept in mind and forces S-type A to fit into that when S-type A can't fit into that. Has no flexibility in their plan. If you have no flexibility in your plan, then you can't have S-type A. You have to have all S-type Bs, whatever fit into your plan, that's the S-type you have to have. But not being flexible and forcing them. I think an irresponsible dominant is one that, for lack of a better term, uses their submissive without there being any sort of reciprocity. Because although we're yin and yang, you get something out of the things that I give. You know, I get something out of the things you give. You like things that I don't, you know, that's how that works. But if it's constantly using them, then it's not, you're feeling used, then that's where it's becoming irresponsible. You know, if you're an S type and you want to have your face gagged on a cock or brought into a pussy where you're almost, you know, suffocating, and that's like your bliss, that's awesome. Do that. But if that's not like your bliss and you're doing it for your dominant just because that's what your dominant wants, but you're doing it so much that it starts becoming painful or you're having psychological side effects of abuse, then that's being an irresponsible dominant. When you cross the line into abuse, an irresponsible dominant. I believe very strongly. A dominant who plays with somebody and isn't honest about their skill set, that's irresponsible. You know, a dominant who says, yes, I've had 20 slaves in the past, but hasn't. You know, when you bulk up your resume, it becomes very irresponsible, especially in the things that we're doing. You know? I mean, I'm sure there's others, but that's just what comes to mind right now.
I think that's good.
Yeah, I mean, I look at these things and I'm like, you know, what are dominant's responsibilities? And, you know, I fail. Fuck. I fail a lot. And some people think I'm a good dominant. So, you know, everybody fucks up. Everybody fucks up. It happens.
Yes. And I maybe, you know, probably one of the most important things to remember is that your dominant is human. Turns out.
Very.
As much as we would love to keep our dominance on a pedestal, they don't actually live there.
No. We're really, really, you know, just normal people with, you know, fucked up baggage. And most people have complex lives. You know, when you're talking about adults, most of them have other responsibilities that are not just simply fluttering around this relationship. It makes it more complicated than just DS. It's never just DS. There's always a ton of other shit that goes on because both sides of the equation have families whether they be, you know, their children or they be their parents or their cousins, sisters, brothers, whatever. Everybody's got all those things that impact life. Everybody's got jobs. Everybody's got financial responsibilities. All of these other things impact the relationship. It's just because it impacts you as a human being. So, yeah, sometimes that happens. And sometimes, guess what? You know what? You may have scheduled to come over on X night to give your dominant sexual service, and you've been looking forward to it for a fucking week. Oh my God, I get to give my dominant sexual service. We haven't had that. We are scheduling it because life's been so crazy. Well, guess what? Maybe you walk in and your dominant's dog died. Your odds of getting giving sexual service that night is really low. Because human beings are human beings. We're not robots. We have emotional reactions. Things happen. Shit happens. That's just the way it goes. It's not fun.
No.
But it's reality. You look tired.
No, I was just thinking about what you were saying. I was going to tell you, earlier you were talking about how a responsible dominant inspires. They're submissive. You inspire me to be ambitious.
Explain.
Well, ambitious in my career and just life and not being afraid to want things, to ask for things. You know,
and great. It's why I'm teaching you to be sassy.
No,
fan-fucking-tastic.
You're not teaching me to be sassy. No, just wanting more out of life. You know, and I don't think you realize that.
No.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. I love that. Let's translate that to cleaning the toilet bowl.
Point taken.
I'm ambitious to clean the toilet bowl.
Point taken. I put away all the laundry today.
You did. I was really happy about that. You put away all the laundry. Yeah. Fantastic. Step one. So much to do.
Okay.
I heard a list. Remember the list?
Yes.
Didn't happen. None of it. That's cool. We can work on it. You give me what? That look.
What look?
Like you're a dog, like, did I lose my treat? Excuse me. Do you think that we kind of covered a lot of the responsibility? I mean, we didn't cover every single thing.
There's no way we can cover every single thing because, let's face it, you know, the dominance responsibilities vary from relationship to relationship, from person to person.
They really do.
Circumstances are very different. You know, they can vary for someone who is... For instance, for us, we're local to each other. Other people are long distance. Other people are online. Like, it just takes different shapes and sizes.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, but I think that what we did cover tonight definitely covers more of the basics. You know, I think that if there's something else further that we didn't touch on, you know, maybe it could be that it's something that you negotiate in your relationship. Hey, you know, based on whatever fucking crazy ass needs I have, I need you to do this in order for me to feel fulfilled in our relationship. Bam, there you go. Responsibility of a dominant. You know, like, I think it can be all over the map.
It can be all over the map.
Why are you laughing at me?
Talk about it later. We're running out of time.
Great. Oh, God.
Maybe I misheard it, but so... That was our show.
This
is Intellectual Kink.
This is Intellectual.
And on the Twitter, it is Kinkellectual, which we don't really tweet a lot from that. No. I am Insidious Muse.
And I'm Service Slut.
Pretty much everywhere.
We tweet a lot.
We do. We tweet a lot.
Except this week, like, I'm probably not tweeting a whole lot.
Hey, if you ask, you know, we'll see. We'll see how I feel. What responsibilities you have or you don't have.
Oh, my God.
Next week, we'll find out about how this this little experiment went.
Jesus fucking Christ.
I'm excited to see how it goes.
Yeah, because really it's only like been like a day or two. What?
Yeah, it has. And one of the days you were so busy at work, you didn't do anything. So let's see what the future holds.
You're so
boys and girls of the interwebs.
Granted, you guys need to know this got reduced from 3 weeks to 1 week because Mistress was like, yeah, 3 weeks. And I'm like, dude, you can't handle 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm sorry. Who was right the first time? Mistress. Mistress, you fucked up. Mistress didn't. Ha ha. I didn't say, stop bothering me with such petty things. I haven't done that yet. It'll happen, yet? Though. Yet. It'll happen. Anyway. You know, review us on iTunes, download us, share us, love us because we love you.
Ain't that the truth?